related to that was, which an earlier question I didn't really answer, which was what factors in Scotland made it maybe a bit different. I think there there's a whole range of factors which probably need a deeper analysis than I can give more thought, but there's certainly the very long historical connection between Scotland and the Eastern Cape in particular, where Scottish missionaries established mission schools, Lovedale of which became the most important. So, for example, the first principal of Lovedale was William Govan, and Govan the Bakey, who of course was a Rabonia trialist, was named after William Govan. And I'm glad to say that Governor Bakey, after his release from prison, came to a conference that we held, and he was a keynote speaker in 1990. So that long tradition of the church involvement with South Africa, I think, is one of the factors. I should say also that, of course, it wasn't all on the positive side, because it was Scots who made the arguably major contribution to the white supremacist ideology of the Dutch Reformed Church. Andrew Murray was the main character who did this. So there was good and bad influences from Scotland. But on the positive side, the mission schools were the longest lasting non-racial educational institutions in South Africa. And of course Lovedale and the people who led Lovedale eventually created the University of Fort Hare, where many of the African leaders studied, including Nelson Mandela, Oliver Tambo, Robert Mugabe, and so on. So that connection that the church had went up and down over the years, but I think when I say there's a positive and negative side, you could still find that during the 1970s in the Church of Scotland, and there'd be quite fierce debates. I'm pleased to say at the positive side, generally speaking, won. And so the Church of Scotland took a very progressive stance against sanctions early on.
You mean forced sanctions?
Yeah, forced sanctions, but at the same time, the editor of their journal, which is called Life and Work, was against sanctions. So there was a struggle inside the church, so it wasn't all just straightforward. So there was that side of it, historical side, the church connection and so on. Of course, there's the tradition of Red Clydeside, where the Shropshire's movement in particular, but the trade union movement generally, and the Communist Party had been very influential in radicalising the trade union movement. So trade unions were always a big influence, and in fact the Scottish Trade Union Congress took a position in support of the African National Congress and the South African Congress of Trade Unions long before the TUC did, many, many years, and so had a very special relationship with SACTU and the ANC. So there was always these open doors and understanding in a way which I think was a bit different from elsewhere.